this morning, of course, we've been talking about faith, hope, and love. Everything always goes back to those three. No matter what we want in life, we spend our lives trying to get things for ourselves. And the three things we're really always trying to get is joy and peace and love. Really, everything in our lives boils down to those three things. We want love from people. We want our lives to be at peace without struggle. And we want joy. We want to feel good. Every addiction, every battle, every stupid thing we do is because we're on a hunt for one of those three things. But as we've learned over the previous weeks, those things only come from the Holy Spirit. You cannot manufacture peace, no matter what you do. You cannot manufacture joy. When you're miserable, you're miserable. And you definitely can't manufacture love. You can act like it. You can give to people. You can, most of us, we said being in love really means I want you for myself. Being in love is the exact opposite, really, of love, because love is I want to give myself to you. But in love means I want you for myself. So we've been talking about these things, and in particular, hope. Message on hope actually really changed my life. Because in those moments where I feel despair or hopelessness, and hopelessness comes from believing that nothing will ever change, that things will always be the way that they are now. And you never get that feeling when things are good. You only get that feeling when things are not the way you want. But what the Lord showed me was my hope is never to be in the things that I'm expecting, or certain ways that things will happen, because that always brings disappointment. It always brings discouragement. That my hope can only be in God, in His goodness, and the fact that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I have to give Him a really wide berth to let Him provide the things for me that I need and want in the way that He is trying to give them to me. But most of the time, we tell God not only what we want, but how to do it, when to do it. And when He doesn't, what happens to us?
We get offended.
What else?
Discouraged.
Discouraged. That's the key word that I want to talk about. Discouraged. Now, the word courage actually is from a French word that means heart, to take heart. And the heart is the innermost part that gives you the strength to go on. All right? When you lose heart, you give up. When you take heart, you have courage to go on. So when things don't go the way we want, we get discouraged. We lose our strength to go on. When we get what we want, we are encouraged. We get the courage to keep going. And so, in my battles against moments of despair and hopelessness, I realized what I needed was endurance. I need the courage to go through every day. We don't think about getting through the day as requiring courage, but it does. I have a group online with almost 900 women, Christian women, from all over the world with depression, who can't tell anybody else. They join this group. Sometimes they will even change their name and create a profile just to join the group so no one will ever know that they are a Christian woman with depression. And the hopelessness they feel and that they express the despair, because the depression has been there for so long that they can't imagine life without it. And for them, just like the people who come to Celebrate Recovery, it takes courage just to get out of that car and walk into this building. It takes courage. Sometimes just to get out of bed in the morning, because you may be facing something that feels overwhelming to you. And I want us to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged. And we're going to talk about how we are encouraged, how we can be encouraged, how we can encourage one another, and what endurance has to do with courage. Okay? All right, if you've got a Bible, I want you to go ahead and find Romans 15, verses 4 through 6. Romans 15, verses 4 through 6. I'm going to read it to you, so that's okay. To be encouraged means to have courage poured into us, have our hearts strengthened so we can keep going to eventually receive what we have been hoping for, despite our present or past situations. To be discouraged means to be disheartened, to lose our strength and determination and reason to keep going. We need strength and endurance to live everyday life with all of its challenges. There is sickness and pain and disappointment and unfairness in life. But we also need strength and endurance to walk our Christian faith out in daily life, showing the world by our every action that we truly believe in God's goodness and love for us, and that we walk by faith and not by our own sight. All right, you guys have Romans? For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I had never seen the words endurance and encouragement together before. I've read this 100 times, but those two words are there in two sentences, one after the other. Now, what do you think endurance, what does the scripture mean? Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. And just give me some ideas. What do you think that statement means? The scriptures teach endurance, and the endurance brings encouragement. How? Think about times when you were discouraged. What has helped you to be encouraged? Give me any examples.
Faith.
Faith? Okay. And what about that faith? How did that encourage you?
When you lose one, you know that you got faith, hope, love.
Uh-huh.
But when you lose one, you gain more of the other.
Okay. Kind of like a phantom limb kind of thing?
Yeah.
When you lose one sense?
So you lean on one.
Uh-huh. So if you lose the joy or the peace, you lean on your faith. I like that. Oh, I like that a lot. That's very good. Anybody else have anything you want to share? Think about a time you were encouraged or discouraged. Anything?
I think friendship is, if you have a, like I have a friend who is very faithful to the Lord, and I try to be very faithful to the Lord. And usually one of us is down, the other one will lift us up.
Very good. So the encouragement of another person may speak words. They may speak words to you. And those words will change your attitude or your understanding of the situation. I know you shared about how your dad shared with you.
Yeah.
And do you want to share that, or you want me to?
You can tell it.
Well, Ashley shared that when she lost the baby, that she was really struggling, and her dad came over and talked to her about something he really believed the Lord had spoken to him about how the child probably was going to be sick and that this was the best thing for the baby and for the whole family. And that encouraged Ashley and gave her a breakthrough in what was an overwhelming fog and oppression, really, and all-consuming. So other people can speak things to us and provide us encouragement. Now, I know for Ronnie and I, when we left the big church that we were at in 2002 after some really devastating things, we went, basically felt like we were going through a desert. It was horrible. We got so low, finally to the point of almost, you know, feeling just like we're going to walk away from God. It just didn't matter anymore. And I thought to myself, surely, how long can this last? And I thought, okay, 7 years. Right? Seven's the number. 7 years, and then it'll get better. No! It didn't. And I thought, surely, this is just a valley. We will get out of this. But it just went on forever. Now, granted, a lot of it was our fault. We didn't get up. We cut ourselves off. We were isolated from everyone else. There was no one to speak encouragement into our lives. We just sunk like a rock into this muck and mire and could not get out. Until finally I did something so outrageous. Tried walking away from God and walking away from Ronnie and tried to destroy my marriage because I wanted love, joy, and peace. Couldn't get them with Ronnie, I thought, so I'll get them no matter what. I was so desperate for those things that I said, God, you're not giving it to me, so I'm going to go get it for myself. And I know I have to walk away from you in order to get it because you're not doing it my way. Lack of encouragement can cause you to continue on your way away from God. Distance. But to hear a story of another woman who had gone through something similar could bring me encouragement. These 900 women on this depression group online, you want to know the one thing all of them say? All of them! I'm so glad I found this place. You all share what's going on with you, and I know I'm not alone, and I am encouraged. You understand how important that is? To tell your stories, to admit honestly what you're going through, that you can actually save the life of someone else simply by being transparent and real? What is endurance? Somebody tell me what endurance means.
Hanging in there.
Great, hanging in there. Keeping on, keeping on. But what does it take to keep on keeping on? Courage. It means you have to have that courage every moment, every day, to keep going. And what Romans is saying is that when you're reading in the scriptures of the people who have gone through long seasons or have overcome huge obstacles, these things are for our encouragement. If they could have the courage to keep going over and over, day after day, year after year, believing that what God spoke to them was true, even though they couldn't see the promise with their own eyes, believing God enough to get out of bed and keep going, that's what endurance is, and that is what we are called to. Have the courage to face whatever we face every day and to do it again and again and again. I never realized that. Now think about some of the stories in the Bible. What are some of the stories in the Bible that speak of endurance? People waiting long time, going through bad things and waiting a long time until God fulfilled His promise. What are any?
Have a lot of it.
Who?
Job had a lot.
Job had a lot. Lost his family, lost his friends, was then tormented by his so-called friends. But in the end, after a long while, God restored him and restored his family and everything else. Everything's not always picture like that. You know, we figure God's going to do it, but it doesn't look like it. After a long time, all you see is desert. What else? Who else?
David, of course.
David? Explain.
Well, if you read, as you read the Psalms, it's just so fascinating to see what a real person he was.
Mm-hmm.
He would get really down and depressed and nothing's going right. And Lord, all these people are coming out after me and where are you? And you
mm-hmm.
know, and but then feeling the presence of the Lord, he would say, but I know you're there for me.
Yes.
I know you're mine. I know it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Now, do you guys know the specifics of how long David had to wait and the things he had to go through? He was anointed king as a child, a teenager. Now, you would think God spoke, the prophet anointed him, I'm king. I get on my throne and I start ruling. Well, God spoke that to him, and what did you know where he went? Right back to the sheep. He had to go right back to the sheep. And while he was taking care of the sheep, a bear, right? Was it a bear came and attacked the sheep. He had to learn how to defend the sheep from the bear. A lion attacked the sheep. He had to learn how to defend an entire flock of clueless, stupid sheep and be faithful over the little that he was given. Although he was called to something much greater, he had to go through much smaller lessons and he had to endure. Now, maybe that was all. Then you figure, okay, now he goes into Saul, he becomes Saul's harpist. He sings songs and writes songs because Saul is tormented because the Holy Spirit has left him and he is going mad. He makes his best friend, Jonathan. And then what does Saul do? Decides, he hears the crowds yelling, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has slayed tens of thousands. Jealousy rose up for no good reason. And he then decides to kill David. Ever had anybody come after you and try and destroy you? Your reputation? Anything about you? Unfairly, you've done nothing wrong? Here's David now, hiding in caves. You wonder how long he was in the caves? After being anointed king? 16 years. 16 years. Hiding from Saul. That's endurance. He was miserable. Absolutely miserable. Lost his wife, who was Saul's daughter. She couldn't go with him. He lost his wife. He lost his best friend. In the end, his best friend is killed along with Saul. This is endurance. But, as Carolyn said, he was real. Those Psalms that we read, do they not encourage us when we read one that reflects the emotions we're feeling at that moment? Reflections of feelings of despair or hopelessness or anger that things, the evil people who are wicked seem to be just getting by fine. Well, you who's trying to serve the Lord, things are falling apart, the money's not there. These are the things that discourage us. And yet in the midst of it, when we read the scriptures, we receive encouragement because someone just like us, who's actually probably gone through things worse than us, is able to say, yet I will hope in the Lord. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. I will put my hope in God. Hope, remember, is eager expectation. You're waiting for something good because you believe he exists and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we need encouragement, we need to go into the scriptures. That's one of the things we need to do to be encouraged, to get our strength from the stories of other people who have endured things that are worse than us and have come through and kept their faith. Even if by the hair on their chinny chin chin, they came through. In the end, they came through. You know, Paul says, at the end, after he'd been in prison, he goes, I finished the race. He didn't look pretty. He didn't say, I got everything I wanted. But he finished the race. And when we finish the race, we will be able to say, I stayed with it. I may not have stayed wholly with it. I may have held back and kept myself from God, certain portions of myself. But I stayed with him. Because something, whether God himself gave you supernatural encouragement, or someone spoke into your life, or you read a scripture that encouraged you, that gave you the endurance to keep on going. I mean, let's be honest. How many of us have had days where we just didn't want to get up and keep going? Encouragement is important. Think about Joseph. As a child, God gave him a vision that all of his brothers and everybody was going to bow down to him. He was a boy. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? He gets kidnapped, sold into slavery, then wrongfully put into prison. Before in his 30s, I believe it's his 30s, he gets made second to Pharaoh. That's a long time to suffer. It's a long time to be wrongfully hurt and imprisoned. And yet, God kept his promise. And so when we read that story, we have encouragement to believe that no matter what's going on in our lives and how awry, how off course, how off the chart our life seems to be going according to the plans that we had for our lives, God can still make something of it. God can still use each of these things that has happened to us. And that should encourage us. You guys with me? Mm-hmm. Our encouragement comes from knowing that there is a greater power within us. No, with us. And it is the Lord our God that helps us fight our battles. In 2 Chronicles 32:6-8, it says, He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate and encouraged them with these words, Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. However, Romans 15:4-6 says that the scriptures teach us endurance, and that through these stories of real people enduring for long periods of time, we receive strength and encouragement to keep going while we are waiting for the salvation of our God. Have any of you had the Lord speak any promises to you? Has he spoken anything to you? Given you, let me put it this way, or have you sensed a call on your life? A call on your life that he wants to use you in a certain way. Anybody?
Mine was to homeschool my kids.
Okay. Very good.
It wasn't nothing like
that. Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
That's what we felt impressed
mm-hmm. to do. Very good. Very good. Now, when you were going to do that, were there any obstacles you were going to have to overcome in order to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
Mentally, I guess, because uh-huh. I'm not a teacher. I'm not that smart to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew that it was going to cost money because you got to buy
yes.
all the stuff and not even enough room to we still don't really have money to do that. Uh-huh. It just happens.
Right, right.
But, and then people on my side of the family did not think that was a great idea because they think that I couldn't be up to par, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To do that, that they yes. would miss out on so much.
Yes. But that's perfect. That's a perfect example of how God impresses on your heart a calling for your life. Other people try to discourage you, dishearten you, take the plug out of the bathtub so your strength just falls away, that your confidence falls away. And it takes courage. It takes courage sometimes to deal with your own brokenness. That's what I'm dealing with. Ever since I have been dealing with past abuse in my life, I've dealt with it before at the level, I'm finally, some things are coming clear. I dealt with it on the level that I was afraid. I dealt with the fear it caused me. I never dealt with the anger. I never looked at it. I never allowed myself to be angry at the abuse that I endured, verbal or physical. And now that I have this anger and this, I'm not going to take it anymore, has risen up to the top. And my brokenness and my unmanageableness of some of the thoughts or feelings that I'm having is magnifying my own brokenness to myself right now. And I think it was yesterday, I got up and I wanted to run. I haven't felt that in a long time. I just wanted to leave everything behind and run. The emotions, the disappointment in myself, all sorts of things just overwhelmed me. And God gave me the presence of mind at least to recognize it's a feeling. I want to run, but why do I want to run? And it's because I didn't have the courage to face the feelings, the painful feelings. It seemed overwhelming to me. And it's not something that just goes away overnight. I'm going to need endurance to push through these things. Disappointments. My life has not gone where I wanted it to. It didn't happen the way I wanted to. My relationships are not as I wanted. I've lost good relationships. And I've had to endure bad relationships. It's hard. So sometimes it just takes courage to look in the mirror and to see who you really are and to see what you're dealing with and get up and keep going and to not give in to the feelings and not live by the emotions, but live by the faith in the Son of God and believe that as I continue to diligently seek Him, He will reward me, but I've got to let go of what I'm expecting Him to do and how I'm expecting Him to do it, because He never, ever does it that way. It's my insistence that He do things my way that causes me all of the heartbreak. We must wait upon the Lord, which requires endurance until we experience the victory. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." Waiting for the Lord. Isn't that fun? Anybody else here enjoy that as much as I do? Endurance requires, basically, endurance means waiting for the Lord. Keeping up your strength to keep going while you wait for the Lord. It's not that you keep going just to keep going. That's despair. That leads to despair. But we have to believe in our God enough that we keep going because we expect the reward that comes to those that diligently seek Him. We have to keep that in front of us, or we will give up. But I believe, I used to joke about dieting. I said, I wish I could get brownie points for walking past all of the stuff that's up there, the breakfast food or the sweets up there. I wish I could get brownie points for that and lose calories just for not giving in to a temptation. But it doesn't work that way, does it? Yeah, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? But guess what? I believe God does give brownie points for us walking past a temptation. For keeping on, even when we don't want to. He knows our endurance. He knows what we're struggling through. He knows how hard it is for us to keep doing what we're doing. And He, if no one else, He appreciates my sacrifice to keep going. He loves me. No one else knows really what goes on inside of you or me, the struggles that we have. He does. And He is a proud daddy that we keep on going. It would be as if we have a child that doesn't have... I saw that video on Facebook of the girl who had no legs who went on to be a gymnast. Mm-hmm. Now, how proud are you of someone who just keeps going? What if that was your child? Would it bother you that they couldn't walk because they didn't have legs? No. Because they kept on going. They did and they achieved. That's how our daddy sees us. We keep going. And that's important. And we need to be encouraged ourselves to know every day we get up and we go towards God. It doesn't matter if we move a millimeter or a mile. He's so proud of us. He's so proud of us. And we can't be tearing ourselves down because we're not going as fast or as far as we want. Psalm 137, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Anybody ever been in a job or a situation where someone else was trying to target you, to ruin your reputation, take you down, do something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Those are the times we are to wait patiently for the Lord. Psalm 5:3, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait expectantly. Psalm 41, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Psalm 119, 166, I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands. Psalm 135, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in His word I put my hope. Isaiah 30:18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him. Isaiah 64:4. Tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. Since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen. Does that sound familiar? Any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. I don't know what any of you are going through. I know what I'm going through and how hard it is. My poor husband. God help me, can't do anything right. Nothing right now. It just... And since I'm in this, I'm mad and I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm so sensitive, it's unbelievable. I mean, seriously. But I'm equating things now with past hurts. And I am just one big sore. And all you have to do is just poke me a little. And it reminds me of something totally unrelated. We are to encourage one another. And this is really important. This is why we come together. This is why we're a group. We're a family. I need you to encourage me. I need relationships. I need friends. It's one thing to get my encouragement from people online and to get it from the scriptures. But you know what? Sometimes I need Jesus with skin on. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Judges 20:22 says, "But the Israelites encouraged one another and again took up their positions where they had stationed themselves the first day." Sometimes you're in battle and you just don't want to fight anymore. But you encourage each other so you can get back up and take your battle stations. And that's what we need. We need encouragement to remain true to the Lord with all of our heart. How many of us are pulled in different directions, and it's so easy to get sucked into, for me, the Netflix zone. Or something else that takes our devotion and our mind away from God. We need encouragement with each other to stay on focus and stay on target. Acts 11:23, "When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts." Sometimes God's people need to be encouraged in order to use their God-given gifts and calling to step into the Lord's service. 2 Chronicles, "He appointed the priests to their duties and encouraged them in the service of the Lord's temple." Leaders require encouragement to lead. Deuteronomy, "But your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it, the land. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it." Encouragement can come from preaching and teaching. 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Titus, "He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." If any of you have the gift of prophecy, you're to use it to encourage and strengthen believers. Acts 15:32, "Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers." 1 Corinthians 14, "For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged." Encouragement itself can be a spiritual gift. Barnabas wasn't his real name. His name was Joseph. Barnabas was the nickname given to him by the apostles. They named him Son of Encouragement. So what does that mean? The apostles all looked up to him. Why? Because he encouraged everyone. It's a gift. And when we keep ourselves from getting involved in other people's lives and speaking encouragement to them, we're robbing them. We're robbing them. We're an isolated, fractured Christian community as a whole. It's us versus them. I've got my life and what I do, and then I come to church and I come stay with some people, and then I go back to my isolated life. That's not what Koinonia, fellowship, Christian community is meant to be. I need to tell you what's going on in my life and how I'm struggling, and I need you to love me anyways, and I need you to encourage me. Tell me a story where you went through something. Help me stay on track with God. That's what we're here for. That's what Potluck Sunday is for. So we're not just listening to somebody talk, but we talk to one another. We minister to one another. Romans 12:8 says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." This is a scripture that I really believe belongs for Ministry House. "If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Ministry House was created so that everyone, and everyone is called, everyone has gifts, everyone is called to service, that everyone would have a chance to do it here. In most large churches, you don't get that opportunity. One person preaches. That's it. They're not giving their pulpit up to anybody. Well, if you are anointed to preach, if you just have a message or want to teach, this is the place we're going to let you do it. We want you to have the courage to fulfill your calling, to have that hunger to know and investigate and ask God what your calling is. We are here to teach each other how to fulfill that calling. But your life, and this is not meant to be in any way negative, like you're not doing what you should be doing. What I'm saying is you're missing things. You're missing a satisfaction that goes beyond. It's like the peace that passes all understanding when you're not serving as God intended you to be, plugged into the body of Christ. You're missing a fulfillment you've never known. You know you are called to teach your children and to homeschool your children. Is there anything that matches you knowing that what you're doing for your children is something that no one else can do and that you're accomplishing it? Do you not get a sense of satisfaction and purpose? It's unequaled. Once when we were in a prayer service up at another church, and everybody, it was back in the day where there was supposedly holy laughing, where somebody would pray over you in a group and people just started laughing, falling on the ground laughing. I'm not the kind to pretend something. Everyone else is on the floor laughing. And they're praying over me and I'm not laughing. And a prophet came up to me who had not been praying over everybody. And he came and he laid hands on me and he said, "Your joy, you love being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You love being in the flow of the Holy Spirit." He says, "That's your joy." And it's true. Back in the day when I would get up and do praise and worship and I was fulfilling my calling for that season, doing it, and I was raw. I mean raw. My emotions were just all out there and I gave it all and I was not afraid because at that moment the Holy Spirit was like being carried on a stream, on a tide. And there is nothing that has ever matched the feeling that I have had being in the center of the Holy Spirit's power, doing what I was called and empowered to do. Nothing matches it. And I want to encourage you guys. It doesn't have to mean getting up in front of other people and doing things, but you have a call on your life. And we are not doing our job here at Ministry House if we're not showing you what it is, teaching you how to do it, and giving you the opportunity to do it. We're small, but that's so we can get individualized attention. We know each other. And we can fail in front of each other and fall in front of each other. And you know what? It's perfectly fine. Because we love each other. We're family. We can encourage with our words, our love, and our faith expressed in everyday actions. Job: "But my mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief." 1 Thessalonians: "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith." People have to see your faith. And when you're expressing it by going through hard times or just keeping on keeping on, you're encouraging someone else. Philemon: "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." But encouragement can come supernaturally from God. "You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them. You listen to their cry." Acts 9:31, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit." Sometimes when you have no one around and the scripture's not doing it, sometimes the Holy Spirit will just rise up in you and give you the encouragement to keep going, give you the strength to keep going. 2 Thessalonians: "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God of our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." Now, the Greek word that is used for encourage is parakaleo. Parakaleo. Now, for anybody who's ever studied the Greek words, does that word sound like anything else you've ever heard talked about?
Paraclete.
Paraclete is the Holy Spirit. Now, that word parakaleo means to call to one's side in aid. You call out to them, and either you come to their side or they come to your side, and they empower you by aiding you. We need that in the body. We need each other. First of all, we've got to call out to someone else to come to our side when we need it. The second thing is we need to call out to the Holy Spirit, and He will come to our side and encourage us and endure. But remember that your encouragement and your endurance is not just for you. We are connected. We are family. We may get on each other's nerves. We may not be what we want. We may have temper tantrums in front of each other. But you know what? We're family and we need each other. We take care of each other. And we call out to each other. So I want this to be a house of encouragement.